Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Turn to your neighbor, tell him this is your night.
Amen.
To die to yourself. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good.
All the time.
Yes. He's faithful to complete what he started, hasn't he? Amen. Would you turn your swords to 1 Chronicles chapter 28? 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Cool. In verse 6, it says, "Now he said to me, 'It is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father.'" Verse 7, would you read it with me? "Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. If I'm not stuck, I'm expressing something. If means what? Cooperation. Amen. "If he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments, as it is this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may" what? "Possess this good land and live in it as an inheritance for your children after you forever." Verse 9. "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a" what? "A loyal heart and with a" what? "Willing mind." Everyone say willing mind.
Willing mind.
"For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and" what? "Do it." Now, what is the house of the Lord now? We are. We are the house of the Lord now. Has everybody got it? Oh, we may come in here, but this is just a house. Without your presence, it's not the house of the Lord. Has everybody got it? There's something very important here. He says, "Know your God, know your Creator, and serve him with a loyal heart and a willing mind to build his house or his kingdom." Now, a willing mind is a place where the will of God supersedes the thoughts of the mind. Is everybody with me? In other words, you may have thoughts, but it's the will of God that supersedes it. Is everybody okay? This is called a willing mind. See, there are people that have had a willing mind and have lost it. Now their thoughts or their hearts dictate their life instead of the will of God dictating their life. Something may have occurred in their life somewhere along the line. Somebody might have been offended. Something might have happened in the church to you. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Because if your relationship is with the Lord and strong, it don't matter what goes on. Then there really is no relationship. Then there's an idol. Something is before you and God. You might have gone to a fellowship. You might have been in a relationship with someone, and they offended you, they rejected you, or something occurred in your life. And you said, "Oh, well, God, why did God allow this?" or whatever it may have been. And you got angry with God and walked away. Then there was really no relationship. It was religion. Is everybody okay? See, because when you're really in relationship, you fight all the way. We're not runners anymore. We're fighters. We're not wimps. We're strong in the Lord. There's a difference. You want to be of the world? I mean, if the world just has a bad relationship with their spouse, divorce time. They don't like something, they go do something else. You know why? Because they're dictated by their wants, their desires, their emotions, and their thoughts, and not dictated by the will of God. Someone that is dictated by the will of God has a willing mind, and there is a difference. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Again, a willing mind is a place where the will of God supersedes the thoughts of the mind. To will is to choose. Amen? To will is to choose. And to choose the will of God instead of the will of self is called a willing mind. Go to Matthew 16. Because again, I want to reemphasize, and we've heard this more and more and over, that when there is truly a relationship with the Lord, He is before you in all things. You may think about doing something stupid, but the Lord is right there. He's in front of you. Is everybody okay? In other words, He's right there. It doesn't matter, because that's relationship. The Lord is always before you. He's always right there. He's right there. That's relationship. When you have relationship, you want to be right there. He's always in front of you. He's less than a breath away. And Matthew 16 and 24, read it with me. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will what? Will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each one according to his works." So God doesn't forget. But there's got to be something. There must be a willing mind. You must be willing to deny yourself. You must be willing to pick up your cross, which is the will of God. And you must be willing to what? Follow. See, Jesus didn't come up and say, "What do you want?" Right? He said, "Follow." He didn't say, "Believe me." He said, "Follow." Because He knew that if He would have asked that question, let me tell you, if He would have given an opportunity for someone, "What do you want?" or "Do you believe me?" they would have had all kinds of stuff. They would have written a letter like to Santa Claus or something. "This is what I want." Because their wants supersede the will of God. And when your wants supersede the will of God, it is not a willing mind. Is everybody okay? There's a lot of things that my body wants, my flesh wants, my emotions want. But I don't live by what I want. I live by His will. At least I hope so. At least that's my desire. So what God is trying to do, He's trying to get us to a place where our willing mind, that the things that we want are according to His will. So everybody got it? So that we're not just a want. There's a lot of people, we come across a lot of people in our past that, "Oh, you want to be free? Yes, I'm willing. Are you willing to do whatever it takes?" "Yes, I'm willing." Now, they want to be free, but they say they're willing to do whatever it takes, but they're not willing to, are they? So do they get free? No. You know, you may want to be something. You may want to do something. You may have good intentions, but unless you're willing to cooperate, there's no freedom. Amen? Praise God. And Isaiah chapter 1. So these are things that we need to monitor, don't we? We need to monitor whether our thoughts are in line with the will of God. If they're not in line with the will of God and our wants are before His will, there's something that happens. We become anxious. We become fearful. We get out of God's time. And when we're out of God's time, it's not His will. And then we're battling to get back into place. And we're waiting and waiting and battling and battling. How many of y'all know it takes longer? Amen. It takes longer. God is not in a hurry, but He can do it just like that. The purpose of divine delays is for us. He delays things so that we catch up with His character. Oh, did you get that? "I don't understand why, man. I've been praying. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. There's a lot of I syndrome there. He delays things so that you catch up with His character. Isaiah chapter 1, is everybody there? I believe it's verse 18. Let's speak it together, please. "Come now and let us" what? "Reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Verse 19. "If you are" what? "Willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Now, so there's an area here. You must be willing, right? And what? Obedient. You must be willing and obedient. So if you're not willing and obedient, You're rebellious. And rebellion is of witchcraft, isn't it? Amen? Witchcraft. Willing to do whatever it takes and don't lose it. See, many people start the course off, but then their wants begin to manifest. Their wants begin to overtake the will of God. How many times do you know that the enemy tells you you're okay? You're all right now. You made it. Come on, man. You've quoted some scriptures. You can remember this. You got baptized in the Holy Spirit. You pray in tongues. You got it now, man. You're on your own. You don't need nothing else. You don't need fellowship. You don't need to abide. You don't need nothing. Just go on and go for it. Trust God. That's not God. Hello. Because he requires three abidings, doesn't he? Abide in prayer. Amen. Abide in his presence and worship. Abide in prayer and his word. And abide in fellowship. When those three abidings are broke, I can guarantee you that there's an open door somewhere. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 26. Willing mind. Matthew 26 and 36. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass me by." Was it a want? Yeah. "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Did he let his want supersede the will of God? No. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be tempted with a want. Is everybody okay? But we've got to begin to monitor the thoughts and bring in line those things that what we think we want and not allow those wants to supersede the will of God. Amen? Glory. "Not as I will, not as I want, but as your will." There's a difference between a want and a will. I may not want to do it God's way, but I will to do it God's way. Has everybody got it? I may not want to, but I will to. Knowing he knows much better than I do, amen? Let's go a little further on the scripture. In verse 40, "Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into what? Temptation.'" See, why? Because a want always leads into what? Temptation. You don't think the enemy knows that your wants? What's he trying to do? Water your wants. Look at the next line. It says, I want to read 41. "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is what? Willing. But the flesh is weak." In other words, the flesh is not willing. It wants. Your flesh wants. That's all it wants. It wants. Me, 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 me. Amen? Me, 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 me. It wants, 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 wants. But the spirit is willing to do the will of God. There's a difference between giving and taking. There's a difference between giving and receiving. See, there's people that manipulate to get because they're trying to fulfill a what? Want. But when you're willing to give and giving of yourself to do the will of God, you receive because you know that they're coming from God. Does everybody understand that? You know when something's given to you from God. It comes from a person. God uses people. Amen. I know we went to Bread of Life today and got blessed with clothes. And I know that it was God that was blessing us through the Bread of Life. Through a man that's willing to obey God. Has everybody got this? I mean, he could hold it all back and hoard it and do whatever and sell it and whatever. But he chose not to because he's a man, a God-fearing man. And in that arena, he's willing to do God's will and not his want. Hallelujah. Listen. This, again, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh really is a strong want. Amen. Go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. You know, I just really believed as the Spirit was giving this that there is an understanding. He says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, don't they? This is actually another weapon given to me and you so that we can be more sensitive to wants instead of will. John 5:24. Read it with me. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have found good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself what? Do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. You know, Jesus always acknowledged the Father. I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. The Bible says that he was tempted like every other man. In other words, tempted with what? Wants. Well, this is how I want to do it. Well, this is how I believe it should be done. Well, this, has everybody got it? A willing mind, now listen to this. A willing mind is to see the will of God. In other words, I'm going to share this with you. When it's the will of God and you're with someone else, your willing mind will see that will if you have a willing mind. Jesus again said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. Why? Because you and I are to see the will of God. You know, faith is seeing spiritually. We don't walk by blind faith. We don't walk by natural sight. We walk by spiritual sight. When God speaks, you see it, then you do it. Amen? So, in other words, a willing mind is always able to see the will of God. And you're going to be able to not only see the will of God, but you're going to be able to see the want and compare them. If you can't see the will of God and you can't see the want, then there's not a willing mind. Because you and I are to compare these things and discern the right, the wrong, the clean, the unclean, the holy, the unholy. And we can go on in that. Is everybody okay? Go to 39, verse 39. Look what Jesus said to them. He said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Is everybody there? And these are they which testify of me. But you are what? Not willing to come to me that you may what? Have life. So look it. They knew the scriptures, but they weren't willing to do them. Has everybody got it? There's a lot of people who know scriptures. Those are wannabes. But the ones that know the scripture and do them are willabies. So you're either a wannabe or a willabe. Oh, hallelujah. So what happens is then, because they know the scriptures and quote them, but their want outweighs the will of God. Oh, especially when they get in trouble. Boy, they can quote some scriptures. I've seen two people fight with one another with scriptures. Boop, boop, boop. You know, well, come out in the name of Jesus. No, you come out in the name. Neither one is happening because it's scripture spoken in the flesh, not in the spirit. See, everything must be backed by the anointing, even the word of God. Jesus didn't speak the word of God until the anointing came. Hello? There's a difference between religion and relationship. There's a difference of carrying the anointing of God and not. I always look at it as, you know, the word is known as seeds. You want to pick up a bag of seeds and a handful of seeds and throw it at the devil? Or you want to pull out a Holy Ghost bazooka with a sword? One's backed by the anointing, one's not. Daniel 10. A willing mind. Is a willing mind the mind of Christ? Yes. Hallelujah. Okay, we can go home now. Oh, no, we can't. Daniel 10. Verse 12. No, where are you? Yeah. Daniel 10, verse 12. Let's read it together. Then the angel said to me, what? Do not fear, Daniel. From the first day that you what? Set your heart to understand and what? Humble yourself before your God. Your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Did he have a willing mind? Amen, man. What did he do? He set his heart to what? Understand. Was that a choice? Was he supposed to understand what God's will was? That's what he was trying to do, wasn't he? From the moment that he set his heart to understand, in other words, that's a willing mind, and humbled himself, he got an answer. I'm going to say that again. He got an answer. I'll say it one more. He got an answer. I'll give you that one more time. He got an answer. What did he have to do? Two things. Set his heart to what? Understand and humble. Humble yourself. He got an answer. Some of us are waiting on an answer. You want an answer. Hello? I want an answer. Okay. Well, then, humble yourself, but set your heart to what? Understand. You know, you don't say, Lord, give me understanding today. No. When there's a heart to understand, it's one who seeks. It's one who searches out. This is a willing mind. In Matthew 22, in verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. He sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not what? Willing. They were not willing to come. Why? Because their wants supersede the will of God. Again, he sent other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it. They made what? Light of it. And went their ways. Why? Because their wants supersede the will of God. One to his farm and another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. That's what happens if you want too long. When people want too long, they become murderers. Now they become takers, don't they? Has everybody got this? Listen. When a person is an addict out there, he's in constant want. When I was an addict, I was in constant want. I got to the point where I didn't want, but I had to. Because what was in me wanted. My brain no longer wanted, but what was in me wanted. I don't want to do this no more, but I got to have it. There's a difference, isn't there? Amen? And there are some people that will kill someone over $5 in that condition. So that want can be so great that it's worth dying for. I was willing to lose my wife, my children, and everything to fulfill that want. It was not a godly want because I was still fighting for my life. I was trying to fulfill my wants, my desires. And it wasn't until I was willing to surrender them and exchange them for the will of God that the Lord began to strengthen me. And I began to realize that my wants and my desires were not worth exchanging for the will of God. Is everybody okay? This is a powerful example of it. The wants outweighed the will to do the right thing. In verse 7, but when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. He did not have on a wedding garment because there's a difference between a want and doing the will of God. Did he want to be at that wedding? Yes. But was he willing to do what he was supposed to be in the wedding? No. And he said to that man, friend, that's what he said to Judas, you know. Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. He didn't know. In other words, he snuck in. Somehow he got in there, didn't he? Because he wanted to be there. But he wasn't willing to do the right thing to be there. And the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. In other words, that word called means invited. Many are invited, but not many are chosen because they've allowed their wants to supersede the will of God. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Is everybody there? Psalm 23, let's read it together. Verse 1. I want to make sure everybody gets there. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd. Repeat that. The Lord is my shepherd. One more time. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Woo-hoo! Now look at this, because he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, man, if he's my shepherd, it means I'm willing to do his will. I shall not want. Why? Because he's warning me. Your wants are going to interfere with my will. Look at the next verse. It says, he makes me. Is that doing his will? Yeah. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. In other words, he's saying, see what happens when you don't allow your wants to supersede my will? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me. I will feel no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they shall comfort me. In other words, like a shepherd poking. Get in line there. Yeah, that's cool. Thank you. Doesn't the Bible say the Lord chastens those he loves? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Listen, God prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Why? Because he's going to express himself. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. You don't think the enemy's all around you? You don't think they see what's going on? You don't think they're trying to entice you and tempt you so that it promotes a want and then waters the want so that your want supersedes the will of God? That's on a daily basis, brothers and sisters. That doesn't stop. You're on his front lawn right now. Hello? That's his earth. But soon he's going to be evicted for 1,000 years. And dad's going to come here and remove him right off the planet. So praise be to God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But it's got to start off with, you are my shepherd. I'm willing to do your will and not allow my wants to supersede doing your will. Woo-hoo! Ephesians 4. How many of y'all know we need endurance? Well, are you willing to endure? Or does, when there's endurance has to be manifested, you run? Or you blame somebody else for it? Hello. We better go to Ephesians 4. Praise God. And 17. Ephesians 4 and 17. You know, there's something that I heard about. The Bible tells us that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, right? And God says there's a lot of things we do because of ignorance. Amen? Well, ignorance has a chance. Stupid has to get hit by a truck. Hello. Ignorance has a chance. Stupid's got to get run over by a bus, a truck, or something. Some of us were stupid out there, and we had to get hit hard. Hello. I was number one. But see, once you've come out of stupid, you may fall into ignorance. Because at one time you might have known the truth, now you've allowed it once to promote ignorance. And when wants promote ignorance, you still have an opportunity and a chance to come out of it. But ignorance can lead to stupid again. Aren't you glad we're not religious? Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:17. Let's speak it together, please. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Now, what is that? They walk in wants, don't they? Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the what? ignorance that is in them. Do they have a chance? Yeah. Because of the blindness of their what? Their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness. To work all uncleanness with what? Greediness. But you have not so learned Christ or the mind of Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you do what? Put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be what? Renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Wow. Renewed in the spirit of your mind is a willing mind. In Mark chapter 1. Are you learning something? In verse 40. Now a leper came to him imploring him, kneeling down to him. Is that humbling oneself? Saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. What was he seeking? Amen. He was seeking the will of God. Has everybody got that? What was he trying to do? He was trying to find out if his want was lining up with God's will. He wanted healing, didn't he? But he was kneeling before him because he was seeking. He's finding out whether his want was lining up with God's will. Verse 41. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and did what? Touched him and said to him, I am willing, be what? Be cleansed. So did his want line up with the will of God? Did it manifest? Yes. See, so it's our responsibility to find out if our want is lining up with the will of God. That's a willing mind. That means cooperating, cooperation first with God. Is a willing mind. Without cooperation with God, it's not a willing mind. In Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. And it says what? Rejoice is a choice, isn't it? So you have a choice to rejoice. That's a willing mind. That's why the Bible says, count it all joy as you go through trials and tribulations. That's a willing mind. Because it's a mind that's willing to cooperate with the will of God. Rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. When things are going great. When things are going bad. It says always. How about when you're offended? How about when somebody rejects you? Hallelujah. How about when you're shortchanged on your paycheck? You're going to what? Rejoice, man. How about when you get stiffed by your boss? Hallelujah. And is anything else going to, I mean, you know. Listen, I'll be in a grocery store and I'll find something I couldn't find. Then I found it. Then I'll be looking for something else and I can't find it. Or the price went way up. You know what I'll do? Hallelujah. And I go look for something else. I'm going to rejoice. Praise God. Philippians 4, is everybody there? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say what? Rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is where? At hand. Be anxious for everything. Be anxious for what? Nothing. But in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now here it is. So, is it the will of God for you to be anxious? Okay. And he says here, okay, look at it. You don't have to be anxious, but do what? Pray. Pray. How many of you know assumption is not God's will? Never assume. In verse 7, it says, and the what? Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Anxiousness is not cooperation. Many say, I'm willing to do, but few do the will. Amen? Did you ever get around someone and, oh, man, I'll get it. Oh, yeah. Did you pray today? They're going to lie to you most of the time.
Yeah, I prayed.
Oh, no, you didn't. I know you didn't. Yeah, I called on Jesus' name. Jesus, help me. That's not prayer. You're asking for mercy. Prayer. Without prayer, you will not be successful in the kingdom. Without prayer, you cannot deny yourself. But I'm too busy to pray because your want is superseding his will. 3 John chapter 1. Listen, we've all fallen in this. We've all made mistakes. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? But we must learn so we don't get burned, right? We don't want the enemy to burn us any more than he's burned us. And we don't want him to use us to burn somebody else. And we don't want to eternally burn either. 3 John, verse 2, it says, Beloved, I pray that you may be, that you may what? Prosper. How many of y'all want to prosper? In all things. I mean, in all things. And be in what? Health. Just as your what? Soul prospers. So your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions and imagination. So it must line up with the will of God. Amen? The desires of God. The thoughts of God. He says, For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. Wow. So to prosper and be of good health takes a willing mind of cooperation with walking and obeying the truth, living a life of truth. And that can only happen when in prayer and relationship where the Lord is always before you. David says, the Lord is always before me. Always before me. Whatever decision, whatever you're getting ready to do, no matter what, the Lord is there. If he's not there, that's not relationship. Let's go to Hebrews for a second. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. What does it say? It says, Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without what? Wavering. For he who promised is what? Faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love in good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Verse 26. Everybody there? Let's read it together. For if we sin what? Willfully. Is that that's a willing mind, right? But it's not the willing mind of God, is it? It's a willing mind of who? The enemy. If we sin willfully, that means that your want is superseding the will of God. Has everybody got that? If we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Has everybody got that? In other words, you just broke covenant. Is everybody okay? So that blows the theology of once saved, always saved, doesn't it? Because that's not doctrine. But a certain fearful expectation of what? Judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Anyone who willfully sins. Willfully. We've all done that, haven't we? Hopefully not after you've been given the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you did and you broke covenant, how do you get back? You repent. You repent. Lord, forgive me. But you be sincere and honest. You don't repent every Monday after fornicating from Friday till Sunday. Hello. That's not repentance. Psalm 15. A willing mind is willing to do the will of God. He doesn't let his wants supersede the will of God. He begins to see what the want is, and he begins to see what the will is. And he discerns what is clean, unclean, holy, unholy, what is true, what is error, and what is of God and what isn't. Psalm 15, is everybody there? Let's all speak it together. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle, who may dwell in your holy hill, he who walks uprightly, works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. How many of y'all want to be a person that's not moved? I didn't say you wouldn't be tempted. I didn't say you wouldn't make a mistake, but you're not going to break covenant. You're going to stay strong and firm because you're able to discern what is your want and what is his will because you have a willing mind, which is the mind of Christ. And I'm going to close at Philippians 3. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Philippians 3. I want to share with you that just something very quick. That I was at a meeting over the weekend, and it was involved with individuals that were God-fearing men and women of God. And they have been called in ministry in the area of all of these ministries and men and women of God. And the call is to take back the USA. And their function and purpose is faith, family, and free enterprise. And it was amazing in what God was doing and to even allow us to be a part of this. And if you get a chance, go to USA Associate or USA Association. It doesn't spell it. It's USAASSOC.com. It's very powerful. And there's a lot of things that people don't realize that even with anybody ever heard of AARP or whatever it is, you know, all of their funding, basically, their funding goes to the wrong thing. Well, they're starting their own group where it's going to the right thing. And these are all, some of them are very wealthy individuals that are putting it together to take back the USA with faith, family, and free enterprise, entrepreneurship. And the purpose is to reestablish America back to its Christian roots. Has everybody got it? To bring back the true Constitution that's trying to be altered or not even observed. But we'll be talking more about that later. But here's a group of individuals that had a willing mind. They didn't need to do this. In fact, some of them don't even need to work. But they didn't allow their want to supersede the will of God to fulfill the call, because we really believe that this is part of the end time harvest and it's going to be very large. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? But what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is from faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I what? I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are what? Behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. So it's time to let those things go. Don't look back. Kill the past. Amen. Don't touch the past. Live from the future, not from the past. And allow a willing mind to be manifested. Not allowing the desires and wants of the past to supersede a willing mind, which is the mind of Christ. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we ask for your forgiveness in those areas where we've allowed our wants to supersede your will. I ask, Lord, that you would strengthen us and the seed that's been imparted here grow and bear fruit for your glory. I want to thank everyone that's here and our listeners and those who are watching to continue to grow in the Spirit by going to theeternallibrary.org. You can go to trueministrieschurch.org and you can see a little icon there that says Take Back America or Take Back USA. And I'll bring you to the website. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. Go before you as a consuming fire. Bless your socks off. Visit you in dreams and visions and keep you hidden in the secret place. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.